Grow your business today. Identity has helped business owners across the country and around the world develop and scale their global reach. Discover a new way of doing business. Discover Identity at discoveridentity.com.
Everywhere the king is king, there's the kingdom.
If you wait until you feel like everything's right, you'll never go.
There's nothing that can possibly in this earth be more spectacular than what can happen when heaven invades this realm.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Creativity is how heaven comes to earth.
It's not just singing songs, but it is fighting with truth.
We're here to resource churches, not make great music.
If we want community, we got to build it.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. My name is Clint.
And I'm Haley.
And I'm Josh. We are so excited right now, gearing up in May for We Are Worship Tour, Songs of the City.
Yes, May 15th at Victory Ministry and Sports Complex. I think we're going to make history again, Josh. I mean, we seem to be doing this like first-time things that have never happened before. WeAreWorship.com, which is the worship resource branch of Integrity Music, is really going back to grassroots. We've talked about it a little bit, but they are reaching out to worship communities and cities all over the United States. And Joplin happens to be on the list. They heard about something here. They heard a little rumor, a little rustle in the leaves, so to speak. And boy, it's been a joy getting to know them. We've actually had some of those guys over here at the studio and hung out with them and talked with them and heard their hearts. Such a pure heart for reaching out and connecting with worship leaders across the nation. And this We Are Worship Tour is a one-day event happening in like 11 cities. You got the cities there?
Yeah, we're actually the first stop after they do their hometown deal in Nashville.
Yeah.
On May 15th, then they're heading out to Omaha, Nebraska, Minneapolis, Kansas City, Chicago, Chattanooga, Birmingham, Virginia Beach, Huntington, and Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Fort Wayne, that's Sweetwater's hometown.
Yeah.
And I heard that Sweetwater is donating all the video and audio equipment for the whole tour. Awesome. Isn't that cool?
So cool.
So really the goal behind this, like what's the agenda, you know? People always want to know the agenda, but really the only agenda is relationship. They want to create an ongoing relationship. And this is not the last time they're going to come into Joplin.
Right.
They're even talking about coming to Joplin in the fall again to do like a big worship night with some of our worship leaders and maybe even performing some of the songs that we write together on May 15th. So it's really about connecting worship songwriters, creatives, leaders, to help craft a song around the sound that's occurring in your city. Now, that's nothing new to us, right? We have been talking about this for years. Some cities are just getting started and just considering the what if big possibilities. But we've got some great guys coming. Among those are Michael Farron and Dustin Smith. They're really spearheading this as far as the creative and songwriting side. So we're looking at a one-day event. The whole event starts at 10 o'clock. And Dustin Smith is just going to kind of welcome everybody. So those of you out there that have enjoyed Dustin's songs and his ministry, we've had him for a couple conferences, actually. He's going to be there. And our new friend, Malcolm Duplessis, who is from South Africa.
I like how you pause every time you say his last name.
It takes a few more brain cells to remember how to say his name. He's going to be talking about a lot of things that pertain to the why and how we've got to where we are in the worship culture in the church. And he has got some real insight. He'll be talking about things like, for example, 70% of the songs that the church sings is written by 18 people. And he's very passionate about empowering those of us who don't have the big stage to have a voice in creativity and songwriting. We're going to have lots of worship during the day. The worship leaders from We Are Worship are going to come in and we're just going to cultivate an atmosphere of his presence. And we're going to have three local songs presented that day. So if you're local to the Southwest Missouri Joplin area and you're writing songs for the church, submit those to us if you would like to put your song in the kitty, so to speak. Who knows which songs are going to be picked, but they're looking for songs that represent our city well. Send that to our email info@nextgenworship.com. Throughout the day, it's just going to be following that trend, worship and talking, but we're also going to craft a song together. Can you imagine a whole room crafting a song together? about our city, and that's going to be so powerful. So it's going to be an incredible day, a historic day, a day of unity, of uniting worship leaders, songwriters, fivefold leaders in the Joplin, Missouri area around his presence and around creativity.
May 15th, you can find out more about that at weareworshiptour.com. Well, stick around. Today we're going to be diving into the topic of the royal priesthood a little later in the show. Tim Hughes will be joining us.
I am a daughter of heaven. I'm the apple of God's eye. I am strong and I am powerful. God planned me before the foundations of the world. He spoke me into existence. God started my story and He will finish it. Kingdom creativity lives inside me. I was created with heaven's destiny. I am a problem solver, and I was made to change the world. With God, there is nothing that is impossible for me. I am on fire.
Empowering women to thrive. Ladies, catch an all-new episode of the On Fire podcast tomorrow at onfirepodcast.com.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Next week, we're going to be talking about the waking sound. Brian Campbell will be our guest on that program. And just kind of the emerging sound that's going forth, those that have awoken to their identity in Jesus. And it just seems like there's this great awakening all over the planet right now.
Yeah, and it really ties in with our topic today, talking about the royal priesthood, because we like to keep kind of an ear to the ground, and we talk to these different communities, and we're connected through relationship to these different communities, these worship communities all over the United States. And there is an awakening, but it's not an awakening maybe that we've had similar in the past, maybe like an awakening in evangelistic style, where it's all about getting people saved. That's incredible. I mean, as Americans, we do that really well. We're very evangelical. But this is more like we're seeing people awaken to the idea of, I can be influential in the kingdom. And that's a new sound, because instead of the typical kind of church model that we've created in America, where you've got one guy who does everything on stage, or one or two guys, and everybody else watches, all of a sudden there's a rustling in the pews. You know, there's people awakening to the idea that I have been made in the image of Christ. And as they come to realize this, something awakens in their hearts. And we see this all the time in house fires. We see people, even lyrics to our songs, they respond to those lyrics and they go, wait a second, I am about to rethink everything in my life, because they realize there is not only a responsibility once the presence of God enters your life, but there's an empowerment that you start to think like an empowered person and not a spectator.
I think people are tired of punching their time card in Christianity, just doing their weekly, I show up, I sit, I listen, I've, you know, checked that off of my list of what makes me a good, solid, stable Christian. And then once they figure out how much more fulfilling it can be to really participate in the kingdom of God in every area of their life, they get kind of hooked.
So I mentioned house fires, and I'm thinking of that, of the one song that we did, I Was Made for Your Pleasure is the line. And somebody got wrecked over just that idea of God taking pleasure in us.
Yeah.
And that seems a little like, what? Are you serious? You really were coming from that angle. But yeah, that's where people are at. It's a faraway God. He's slightly disappointed. It's like the aloof dad, you know, in natural terms. You know, he's just never so involved, and we always feel a little guilty, and we always feel a little far away and a little disconnected. But we're finding out that that's not who he is. And what we're seeing is, when we get that realignment, not only do we understand who he is, we understand who we are. And tying it back into our topic, you know, we become a priesthood of believers. And if you think about in the Old Testament, those priests only had access, like they had special access, and they were equipped to do things that, you know, normal people could not do. But now that is not the case, because we are a kingdom, a royal priesthood of believers, all empowered to minister to him and to release that ministry into the earth.
And there's an authority that comes with that. You know, in Hebrews it says that he's made us kings and priests. And that is the entire body of Christ, that we are empowered by the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. That's the pleasure God has given to us. He's given us the Spirit to live inside of us so that we can have the authority. Fear has always been an issue of authority. Mm. If you're afraid of something, it has authority over
that's
you.
That's true.
If you're not afraid of something, then you have authority over it. And I think the church has been cowering in the corner for so long, afraid of the devil, when he's not even really concerned about us. He's concerned about the kingdom. Mm. He's concerned about the authority that God has given us. And whenever we awaken to that authority and we step into our rightful place as priests and kings, then we operate in a kingdom mindset. And that's what the devil's afraid of.
Yeah.
So if he can keep us at bay and we're not aware of that authority, then he's done his job.
Yeah.
Some of it, I think, goes back to what you were saying about identity, that God is very far away. And there's a prevailing idea in a lot of Christians that God is Old Testament, like God the Father is the Old Testament angry God, and he's the bad cop. And then Jesus is the good cop. And it's because of Jesus' sacrifice that, well, God tolerates us. And I like what you were saying about it's his good pleasure. It was his good pleasure to make us kings and priests. Mm. It was his good pleasure and his desire, God the Father, to have Jesus partner with him and make it possible to where all of humanity is able to enter into the holiest of holy places rather than just a select few men.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, tying in with the idea of authority, you know, I think maybe a lot of people, when they hear the word authority, they instantly think of their local church situation and who's in charge, maybe, you know, but it doesn't quite translate to I have authority, right. You know.
Yeah.
But we are seeing at the same time, as this awakening in believers, we are seeing a strengthening and a resurgence, a healthy resurgence of fivefold. Pastor and maybe even evangelist and teacher have been really strong, but we are seeing a healthy resurgence and maybe still discovering what it is to be gifted as an apostle or be gifted as prophet. Those are gifts also to turn around and empower the kingdom of priests, this royal people whose entire existence is to carry the honor of God into the earth and to see chains broken and to see his light dispel darkness and to see his presence fill all things in every way. And that is truly exciting because it seems like a lot of plates that have been spinning are now kind of coming together at once, you know, and I think this is a really brilliant time that we're moving into, maybe even a new era in the kingdom where we have a strong fivefold ministry and a rising up of people of God out of the pews, out of the doldrums of maybe the American dream, and taking their place in authority, seated with Christ in heavenly places, in the earth, and doing the work of the ministry themselves, not just waiting for their pastor or somebody else to do it, but them doing it themselves. It's truly exciting.
I think we tend to divide time into Old Testament, New Testament, like you were talking about, Haley, like the Old Testament God, the New Testament God. But if we go back to the garden, we realize this is what we were meant to be. You look at Adam.
Right.
He was a king and a priest. He ruled the earth. And that is what God desires for us, is to rule his creation. He created it for us, and he created us for his good pleasure. And if we can just jump over that little detour we took and come back to the garden, that's that's where we reign and rule. And I believe that's being fulfilled as we unify around the idea of the truth that we are the royal priesthood.
Yeah, it's so exciting. And if Jesus is the exact representation of God and God never changes, we can just look at Jesus and go, that's always who he's been.
Yeah.
Since the beginning.
Yeah, and when we come back, we'll talk to Tim Hughes a little bit about this. Stick around.
Discover the number one biggest mistake you could be making online as a business owner. Get an exact step-by-step process for building a successful online presence. Identify solutions that will take you from where you are to where you want to be, and develop a custom roadmap for your success. Grow your business today. Identity has helped business owners across the country and around the world develop and scale their global reach. Identity empowers businesses to thrive by offering professional web design, programming, film, video, marketing, advertising, business growth tools, and more, all based on proven strategies that work in every aspect of your brand. Discover a new way of doing business. Discover Identity at discoveridentity.com.
is afraid of me. Next Gen.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. Next week, we're going to be talking with Brian Campbell about The Waking Sound. You definitely want to tune in for that. Today, we've discussed the royal priesthood, and we're fortunate enough to have on the program with us, all the way from the UK, Tim Hughes.
All right, such an honor to have with us today, Tim Hughes. Tim, welcome to the show.
All right, thank you. Great to be on the show.
Yeah, so for those who aren't familiar with you, Tim, just give us a little history. Tell us who you are and what you've been doing.
I live in the UK. I'm a Pommy, and have been involved leading worship, I guess, for many, many years. Started when I was a teenager. Was part of a ministry called Soul Survivor. Right. A guy called Mike Pilovich used to lead that, and a guy many people will know called Matt Redman was around. And so grew up as part of that. Ended up leading worship and being a worship pastor for a number of years at Soul Survivor. And then more recently, I was at a church in London called HDB. Which is the home of a thing called Alpha, and again was the worship pastor there, set up a thing called Worship Central, which had a vision to train and equip worship leaders, and more recently moved to Birmingham, which is in the heart of the UK, to plant a church. So that's kind of something of what I've been doing. I've written songs over the years. I'm married to Rachel. I have four kids, all under the age of 10. Yeah, it's a little snapshot
of who I am. Yeah. For those who may be more familiar with your songs than with your name, throw a couple of songs out there that have been some of the big ones for you.
A song called Here I'm to Worship.
Mm-hmm.
A song called Happy Day, At Your Name, Beautiful One, Jesus Saves. Yeah, there's a few songs.
Right, yeah. Well, take us on a little journey here. I want to talk about Worship Central, but it seems like there's been a progression in your life, just the things that you've been doing and following. We see kind of a common thread, and it's really just raising people up and empowering people. So I want you to talk about that a little bit, your journey, and then bring us up to speed with Worship Central and just kind of give us the full picture there.
Well, I think what was key for me when I was young, I remember I was 18 years old and I was asked to lead worship at this conference. It's quite a large conference in the UK. This guy, Mike Pilovich, who I mentioned earlier, was leading it. And it's the first time I got to lead at a bigger thing. And I was nervous, you know, like full of excitement, anticipation, but apprehensive. And I was getting ready to lead worship. And I remember Mike saying, right, there's this young guy, he's 15 years old, he's going to lead with you and you're going to coach him and train him up. And I remember saying, but I haven't got a clue what I'm doing, let alone training someone else. And Mike was just, well, whatever you know, pass it on. And so almost from day one, what was modeled to me was, as well as you growing in your gifts and your leadership, make sure you're always bringing others with you. Whatever you've learned, give it away. And I think that spirit of generosity, that spirit of investing in others, was just drilled into me. It became so natural. And so as a leader of worship, as well as having a passion to lead people, invest in the church, songwrite, creativity, all of that stuff, I've always been thinking, well, how can I build a team, invest in others, train people up? And so that's been a massive passion for me. And there's a verse in the Proverbs, in the Message translation, it says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller.
Wow.
And I guess my experience has been, as I've tried to give what I can away to others, rather than it kind of meaning there's less for me, actually, I feel like God's just opened up more and more doors. You know, my life has got richer, the opportunities richer. And so I think it's just such an important part of leadership, really, the raising up of others. And I've had the joy of being able to do that for leaders of worship for many years. And Worship Center has had a particular vision to train and equip worship leaders so that they can excel in what they do, they can grow in confidence, they can get some skills so that local churches can be empowered. Because when the worship of a church is on fire, everything flows from that place, a heart for mission, a hunger for the word of God, a desire to pray, you know, growing in kindness, you know, the fruits of the spirit, all of these things, I think they spring from that engagement in worship.
Talk about your heart concerning where the church should be taking worship. There's a lot happening. Obviously, worship is really bigger than it's ever been, as far as what we know is worship in the modern world. Talk a little bit from your heart about where worship fits in church.
Yeah, well, I think there's so much to be hugely encouraged by. You know, I get to travel all over the place. You know, I was in Canada a couple of weeks back with Worship Central. You know, there's 1,500 worship leaders gathering to get trained, you know, passionate about what they do, taking it really seriously. So inspiring. You know, every week there's about 3 or 4 amazing worship albums being released and, you know, great songs. So I feel like the resourcing and the commitment to serve the church in worship and song is really exciting. I'd say my one concern, and the thing that I think we've got to be careful of, is the over-professionalization of worship and the way we do church. And that the danger of us looking around, looking at, okay, how Coldplay run a world tour, you know, the slickness of that, I think, right, okay, well, that's what we need to do in our churches. It needs to be programmed to the second, massive all the time, you know, all about the production, all about the set. Now, all of that stuff's amazing. The creativity is fantastic. But I think we can get so consumed with excellence and doing everything so professionally that we lose the heart of what worship is. And my understanding from the Bible is an almighty God initiating, reaching out to love his people and to draw them into relationship. And the encounters I see with normal people in Jesus Christ in the Gospels are messy, they're authentic, they're raw, they're intimate, they're beautiful. They're not programmed to the second, you know, with confetti cannons kind of exploding over these amazing moments. And so I think, as well as digging into all the creative brilliance we're seeing, I long to see more space for that honest, raw, heartfelt engagement, which can at times be a bit messy, can be a bit awkward. And I think we sometimes miss the power of that. I think that's why so many people, they're just desperate for sense of encounter. That's why I think some of these much more rootsy, simple songs are connecting with people, because they're just so from the heart.
Yeah. So speaking of that, you guys have a new project coming out. In particular, you've got a song on there called All for Love. Tell us a little bit about that song and the new project.
Yeah. So with Worship Central, it's kind of a collaboration. It's a team of people all serving on this worship team at this church in Birmingham, which we oversee. And a lot of these songs have come out of our gatherings and expression of worship. It's, the album's called Stir of Passion. One of the songs, which actually comes out very soon, it's called All for Love, Gethsemane. And it's the story of, I guess, that journey Jesus took to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he considered his fate, as it were, considered this journey to the cross, the anxiety of that, but then also considering, from our point of view, what his ultimate decision, not my will but yours, means for us, you know, that transition from death to life, darkness to light. And so it's, I guess, a song that looks at that journey in our worshipful response. And I think whenever you sing about Jesus, who he is, what he's done, there's such power in it. So this song has been working really well at church, particularly as we approach Easter. It feels like an amazing song of truth. Now, I can really big this one up because I didn't actually write this one. But it has a lot of content that tells the story, but then gives a moment where we can just respond. You know, so I think that content and engagement element is really important for a great worship song. So this one, I think, does it really well.
Well, I noticed that you guys have taken a new path on your journey, and I see that you guys are leading Gas Street now, and that, and that's maybe been a little bit where you've been leading there. Tell us a little bit about that and what you guys are pursuing there.
About 2.5 years ago, we felt this call, I guess, to move from London, which is arguably the greatest city in the world, maybe a little bit behind. Is it Joplin you're from?
Yeah.
But to move to Birmingham. Birmingham is probably second largest city in the UK. Demographically, it's the youngest city in the whole of Europe. But in terms of church attendance, it's one of the lowest. in the UK. So it kind of feels like the place set aside for a revival.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we just felt God lead us to move to Birmingham and to plant a church. And we took about 25 people from London, friends who sort of were up for the adventure with us. And it's been remarkable. I mean, I'd say it's been the scariest thing I've ever done in my life.
Wow.
You know, as the worship pastor of this amazing church in London, it's a large, influential church, you know, had great resources, a massive team that could help organize everything, to suddenly kind of on your own, got no money, there's no PA, you know, you open the fridge to make a coffee and there's no milk, you know, who buys the milk, you know, there's no all of these things you take for granted in a well-resourced church is suddenly starting all over again.
Mm.
And of course, you're asking the questions of, you know, leading this with my wife, Rachel, have we got what it takes? Are we going to make a spectacular mess up? Will we fail horrifically? You know, will it be the shortest church plant ever in the history of the UK? You know, so you've got all these fears and concerns going on, but we just knew God had called us. We just knew we had to be obedient. And so we stepped out. And actually, I did an album around the time of planting this church called Pocket Full of Faith, which was captured everything we were walking through, you know, that thinking of that verse, you know, faith the size of a mustard seed, you know, this tiny, small amount of faith, that's all I've got, but God, could you do something with it? And what we've seen is God's amazing provision.
Mm.
You know, we needed to raise £1.2 million just to get this building and get it ready for us to meet in. And I'd never fundraised before, and I couldn't imagine where that money would come from. And I remember one moment talking to my wife, just saying, we've bitten off more than we can chew. I can't do this. We haven't got what it takes. Where's this money going to come from? As I'm talking and moaning, the phone goes and this guy says, look, I'm sending you a check for £25,000. God's got this. Trust him. And
wow.
Amazing timing, amazing encouragement. And, you know, we've seen the money come in. We're now meeting three services on a Sunday. Hundreds coming through. We're seeing people come to faith. We're baptizing people. We're seeing leaders being raised up, mobilized, people stepping into, you know, the things God has for them. And it's been so exciting. And,
wow.
You know, I can stand back and think, wow, God, look at what you've done. And, you know, you're slightly bemused at what God's done, but so encouraged. So it's been a huge journey and lesson for me, again, in this area of trust. Mm. And how easy it is for us just to get comfortable and safe. You know, the whole world around us, we set everything up to keep ourselves safe, comfortable, and secure. And I don't read anywhere in the gospel Jesus say, hey, I've come to make you comfortable, safe, well protected. You know, he says you're going to be challenged, you're going to be persecuted, you're going to be mocked, you're going to have to lay your life down, you're going to suffer. But actually, it's when we step out into that, we also experience this life, this fullness of life that he brings. So it's been a really fun, full, challenging couple of years.
Yeah, sounds amazing. Amazing testimony for sure. I love wrapping up our conversations with people by asking them what they're dreaming about. So could you share with us maybe some of the God dreams in your heart?
Yeah. Well, I mean, my dream really is this city we're living in, Birmingham, about 1.5 million people. You know, our vision, and it feels massive, and I kind of think, how's this going to work? But honestly, the vision is that we'd see this city changed.
Mm.
We'd see, there's a high Muslim population. Islam is very strong here, but I want to see Muslims coming to faith, coming to know Jesus. There's such a young demographic. I want to see young people, rather than flocking to the nightclubs, you know, flocking to the church. Church has been too small to hold how many people are coming to Jesus. I want to see in this city, when people talk about the church, they talk about, well, they're the people who love the poor, the homeless, who look after vulnerable children, who fight against trafficking and oppression, who bring good news, who are kind and love. You know, so what I want to see is a city changed, really.
Yeah.
And I believe God's given us a small part to play in that. And again, in terms of my vision for worship, I think worship's key in this. There's an old, in England, we have this guy called the Archbishop of Canterbury who leads the Anglican Church, about 80 million people globally. But he, an old archbishop called William Temple, once said, this world can be saved from political chaos and collapse by one thing, and that is the worship of Jesus.
Mm.
And I find that so inspiring. He's not saying the world's going to be changed by a great worship song or a great worship band, but he's saying when people worship Jesus appropriately, rightly, they'll be changed and the world will be changed. So I believe worship is absolutely key to seeing people excited by who God is and excited about giving their lives to follow him.
Man, that's so good. So good. Well, we want to give people the chance to connect with you with Worship Central and with your new project coming out. So give us some websites and social media links.
Yeah, so website would be worshipcentral.org. So if you want to find out, there's loads of stuff, training, songs, resources, all of that. So worshipcentral.org. If you want to follow a bit more about what's happening with our church, our website, gasstreet.org. That's gas, G-A-S, street.org. If you want to follow more about me, Instagram, tHughes77. That's probably a good place to start. So there's a few ways you can connect in. Okay. And we'd love to hear from you and connect with you.
Awesome. Well, Tim, it's really been inspirational listening to you tell your story and listening to part of your journey. And man, we just wish you all the best.
Brilliant. Well, thank you. And it's great what you're doing. Love, you know, the way you're resourcing and encouraging people. So it's great to connect with you. Thank you.
Great to have Tim Hughes on the program. What an honor. And we hope to connect with him in the future as well. Of course, just building relationships and being an influence and being influenced by other like hearts. What an incredible journey it has been, for sure. Next week, we're going to be talking with another influential voice in the kingdom. Brian Campbell will be joining us. We're going to discuss the topic of the waking sound. We'll see you then.
You've been listening to Next Gen Worship Broadcast.